I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Good news can be scarce in West Central Africa, but a decade ago, one nation in the region produced big and positive headlines. That country was Gabon, next to Congo, along the Atlantic coast. It announced that it was setting aside more than 10% of its territory as national parks. The idea was to make Gabon an African version of Costa Rica, a mecca for ecotourists. But as The World's David Barron reports, it hasn't worked out that way in Gabon, at least not yet.
On the Atlantic coast of Africa, just south of the equator, my guide, Wynan Philhoun, brings me to see a surprising sight.
Two buffaloes, basically on the beach.
Will they go in the water?
I haven't seen them in the water, the buffalo, but they go right up to the waves.
These are African forest buffalo. They look like cattle, with coats the color of cinnamon and horns that curve backward. They don't look like they belong here, on a strip of white sand where the rainforest meets the sea.
It even looks weirder if you see the elephants, huh?
And you often do see elephants on the beach. All sorts of animals wander this rare stretch of undeveloped coast. Just inland, another guide, Dimitri Mavungu, spies an animal knuckle-walking across a clearing.
The gorilla.
A gorilla?
Yeah, very big.
This is Lwango National Park, one of 13 Gabonese national parks established by presidential decree in 2002. The creation of the parks was hailed by conservationists as a way to protect the region's endangered animals and dwindling forests. National Geographic magazine focused special attention on Lwango. It called this park the land of the surfing hippos, because, as Wynan Philhoun says, you'll occasionally see hippos here doing just that.
They're body surfing in the waves. No, it's quite amazing to see.
From the start, Lwango seemed a natural draw for international tourists, given its rare wildlife and unique setting. But it was also clear that bringing visitors to an out-of-the-way corner of an underdeveloped country would take serious investment. That's where Rombout Swanborn came in.
No single investor would have done in this country what I have done.
Swanborn is Dutch, but he grew up in Gabon. His father worked for the Shell Oil Company. As an adult, Swanborn himself made millions in the oil industry. And at the time Lwango Park was being created, he used part of his fortune to open a tourist operation here.
It was actually meant to function as a demonstration project, and I hoped that in our wake, more people would see that Gabon would be a viable area to invest in.
The main big building there, which you see, that's the restaurant area.
My guide, Wynan Philhoun, is one of Swanborn's employees. He shows me what the Dutch investor built.
Here on the right is all the bungalows.
There are 10 bamboo-sided bungalows at what's known as Lwango Lodge. The lodge sits on a lagoon across from the park, and has all the luxuries international tourists expect.
Swimming pool, air conditioning, hot water, showers.
Inside the park itself, there are rustic camps where visitors can spend the night in tents on wooden platforms.
Sometimes at night you even get elephants crossing the platforms.
The investment seemed to pay off. Within a few years, Lwango Lodge was drawing several thousand visitors a year, many from the U.S. and Europe. The tourist dollars provided local employment and supported conservation work on gorillas and elephants and sea turtles. In 2008, the British Guild of Travel Writers named Lwango the top new tourist destination in the world. But then, in 2010, Lwango Lodge shut down.
As a pioneer, they became victim to the fact that Gabon wasn't really ready.
Lee White is a British-born biologist who pushed for the creation of Gabon's parks and helped launch the tourist and conservation effort at Lwango. Now he's the director of Gabon's National Park Service.
When you're trying to move a country that has no experience with tourism to become a tourist-friendly country, there are huge challenges.
Transportation in Gabon is unreliable. Hassles with police and immigration officials are common. Investor Rombout Swanborn says for some time he was able to circumvent these problems. He purchased his own planes and flew tourists directly to Lwango from throughout the region. But Swanborn says he faced problems with Gabon's Civil Aviation Authority, an agency considered so ineffectual by the European Union, it put Gabon on an air safety blacklist.
These guys before they do anything at all, they ask you for a lot of money.
And he says he refused to give money when officials asked for it.
We were not ready to pay an extravagant additional tax, of which we knew that it wouldn't benefit the country, let's put it that way.
Are you saying someone was asking for a bribe?
Let's call it an appropriate kind of taxes.
Officials grounded his planes. Swanborn tried to bring tourists to Luangwa by other means, a long boat ride down the coast, followed by a car ride on potholed roads. But that proved too inconvenient and time-consuming for many tourists. Reservations dried up, which is why Swanborn shut the lodge down. It may seem a straightforward tale of a well-meaning businessman stymied by African corruption and inefficiency, but others who were involved say it's not that simple. They say Swanborn didn't do enough to build trust with the Gabonese, and that undermined his efforts. René Adiahano, a former head of Gabon's National Park Service, says as an ecotourism operator, Swanborn should have done more to train and employ villagers who live near Luangwa.
The definition of ecotourism is this, is you have to help local people. You have to share the benefits.
Romain Kalak, an early employee at Luangwa, who now works for the Wildlife Conservation Society, says Swanborn tended to play loose with contracts and rules, including government regulations.
And the government became very upset, and it was almost impossible to find a way to get all the partners back around the table.
For his part, the current head of Gabon's Park Service, Lee White, chalks up the troubles to a clash of cultures, an aggressive European businessman operating in a country where people prefer to avoid conflict.
You know, everybody made mistakes. The truth is, there are both good and bad on both sides.
Whatever went wrong at Luangwa, White remains optimistic about the ecotourism potential of this country. And he says things are looking up. Gabon has a new president. By all accounts, he's serious about rooting out the corruption that plagued this country under the former president, his father. And the new government is negotiating with tourism companies to build as many as 9 new national park lodges in the next few years. As for Luangwa Lodge, it may still have a future. Workmen at the lodge were recently fixing it up to reopen. Investor Rombout Swanborn is trying to patch up relations with the government so he can resume flights. Guide Wynand Philhoun is excited by the prospect of a new start.
Hopefully it will be like a new penny, shiny and bright.
Everyone involved hopes things will go better this time, because what's at stake isn't just money. If tourist dollars don't start flowing into the economy here, pressure could mount to open the parks to other forms of revenue. And the land that had been set aside for the buffalo on the beach and the hippos in the surf could be handed over to people who value this place for other reasons, to extract its timber and minerals and oil. For the World, I'm David Barron, Luangwa National Park, Gabon.
You can see Gabon's surfing hippos and other pictures from Luangwa at theworld.org.